Right now on VFN TV, a high school graduate's defiant response to an atheist demand for them not to say the Lord's Prayer, which is their tradition. You'll be really surprised at their response. Bill Johnson of Bethel gives us a fresh look at the healing power of God and how we should approach the Lord. Virginia College fires retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin for a comments he made of First Amendment comments on Facebook over transgender, and the Israeli Navy trains for an ISIS takeover of an Israeli Navy ship. Today, right now, on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
It's going to be a physical battle. It's a physical battle. It's going to be on the ground.
God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
Chuck Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America is going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? As soon as that was said, that America is going to go back to the 1960s. The 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, assassination of John F. Kennedy. You had the riots. We had Vietnam War. We had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do.
Holy Spirit said this year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. A phrase will be repeated: I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time.
If my people, who are called by my name, will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he has always worked through a remnant.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ, because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
And the Lord said, I'm raising up
Spirit, and the Spirit is going to rush to you.
But we're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so, you know, where are you connected at? Where are you rightly related?
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
This is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kalaszewski. Could you imagine, after many, many traditional years of your class graduating from high school, you always sung the Lord's Prayer as part of your graduation, and an atheist organization tries to threaten your school board and your community and says, we're going to sue you if you continue to lift up the name of the Lord in your graduation? And the school board agrees to it because they're worried about losing money. Well, that happened, but watch how the students responded and defiance. Let's take a break.
Our top story tonight, a 70-year-long tradition at East Liverpool High School was removed from the graduation ceremony, but students just weren't letting it go. News Tonight's Kendall Forward was there, and she has the full story.
They certainly weren't letting it go. The school removed the song from today's program after a Wisconsin-based group got wind of the tradition to sing the Lord's Prayer. But instead of losing part of the ceremony, students decided to lead their own prayer.
Graduation at East Liverpool is filled with tradition. But this year, students and parents were told one major tradition would be removed from the program, the singing of the Lord's Prayer.
I know that a lot of my student body, though, was uncomfortable with it just because it is tradition at our school.
The prayer has been sung at the graduation ceremony for over 70 years. It was removed this year after the school received a notice from the Wisconsin-based group, the Freedom Foundation for Separation of Church and State.
The idea of one person or two or even three people taking and standing up and saying that they really don't want prayer back or the Lord's Prayer back in the school, or even singing it or reciting it.
Rodney Oler is a pastor at the Salineville Assembly of God. He and members of the church stood outside to lend a hand in prayer and support keeping the prayer in the school. All of the parents I spoke to said they were disappointed with the decision. Students and administrators say they don't want to see the issue overshine the students' accomplishments.
I think that my class is very gifted. I think that my class is super talented, and that should be the focus.
School board president Larry Walton says, frankly, they got caught. The decision not to fight to keep singing the Lord's Prayer was all a matter of economics.
I said, okay, we're just not doing it anymore. It was a decision made because the fight would have been more. We don't have a lot of money, and quite frankly, we'd rather hire teachers than pay lawyers.
But these graduates weren't backing down quite as easily. Before the commencement, we spoke to Vice President Cammie Post.
We're really big at traditions at the school, and I think it would have been nice to have the same, like, as my brother had whenever he graduated.
But we suspect during our interview, she was hiding a secret under her cap. Valedictorian Jonathan Montgomery took the stage, and watch what happens next. The students showed they're not letting their tradition go. Then came the applause. A standing ovation for these graduates standing up for their school.
This is so important to be able to understand specifically. This is so important to be able to understand specifically that you have rights. You have your First Amendment rights as a U.S. citizen, that no matter what people tell you, you can do or can't do, your constitutional rights as a citizen of America, the First Amendment said these students can do that. They can actually say the Lord's Prayer. For 70 years, they had this particular tradition. And the threat of money, it all boils down to how do you perceive money, your stuff, your things, and your wealth. You're seeing again and again right now the federal government is threatening states and governments all around the land, and they're saying we will not give you money if you stand up for God, if you stand up for your First Amendment rights. And look what the First Amendment says. It says very specifically right here, you can see it on your screen. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or think about, or abridging the freedom of speech. It says specifically letting you know that those students had the right to do that. And you can do that too. I want to encourage you. Don't let anybody cause you not to be faithful to the Lord. Speak up for God and understand that God will be with you. You have a constitutional right in America, but understand when we stand before God, you stand there with no witnesses. Nobody can say, this is why I didn't honor God. And no suspects. You cannot even blame atheists or ACLU or, you know, school boards. You can't blame them for denying God. You got to stand up for God and stand up for what's right. And for 70 years, they were going to end it. And you heard what the principal said or the leader said of the board. He said, we'd rather pay teachers than pay lawyers. Well, the first thing is we have First Amendment rights to be able to exercise anywhere in America, and the government can make no laws concerning our faith. So I just want to encourage you to stand up. As a student, if your teachers don't stand up, stand up. You know, as a football player, you know, we showed you in an earlier program where they fired a coach in Georgia because He actually prayed with the team on the 50-yard line after the game. But guess what? He stood up for God. And it's time for us. We're going to have to begin to stand up. If we don't stand up for God, understand, this darkness is going to fill this void. And we saw what just happened. The 70-year tradition was not broken. Well, next I want to talk about Bill Johnson with Bethel in regards to perceiving the love of God, the kindness of God. I mean, understand this, that God loves you. When God heals us and delivers us and a miracle manifests in our life or in the presence, our presence, it's God just going, I love you. It's the love of God. And God's not someone, if you read the Gospels and see when everybody came to Jesus, He healed them. Didn't matter where they were coming from, what was going on, He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. He delivered them all. I mean, that's our heart. That's the heart of God. It's religious spirit when people start blaming you instead of just going, you know what? God can heal you. God can deliver you. As a matter of fact, let's go listen to what Bill Johnson of Bethel has to say about this.
I hear often people get scolded because they seek God for gifts. They seek Him for healing. They seek Him for breakthrough. And there's some really good statements that have really good intentions and kind of, I guess, good meanings if you want to wade through them. One of them is don't seek the hand of God, seek His face. You know, I just tell people, if you find His hand, look up, because His face isn't very far away. He's just connected to the very work that He's doing in us. And the realization that I came to is I started looking at blind Bartimaeus. I started looking at the Syrophoenician woman who wanted her daughter healed. I looked at the guy whose son was throwing himself in the fire. Every one of these people didn't come to Jesus to get to know God better. They came because they had a need. That's not a bad thing. It's not a good place to end, but it's not a bad thing. Jesus never scolded anyone for coming to Him because they wanted a gift. Instead, what He did is He provided them with the miracle that directed their heart towards the Father. I think oftentimes we think ourselves right out of miracles. We think ourselves right out of the compassion in the heart of God. We make it way more complicated than it is. If you find His hand, look up. His face is right there. He's looking at the person He just healed. He just gave a gift of provision for, or the promotion in work, or provided that spouse that you've been longing for. Whatever it might be, it's that moment of divine intervention in your life. Look up, because His hand, He'll never scold you for looking for what's in His hand. Instead, take your moment to look at the Father who gave it to you. He's so perfect, and He's so wonderful. I want to encourage you, just learn as much as you know how to simplify things. Don't let anyone ever make you feel guilty because you're seeking God for a healing. Get the healing, and then look at the one who gave it to you. He's absolutely incomparably marvelous. You'll discover something about Him in that healing that you can't discover without it. I encourage you, look up. He's smiling.
I want to encourage you to begin to just believe God for everything He says He can do. God is a loving God. He's a kind God. When we get back for this break, we're going to begin to get kind of shift our perspective a little bit about how good He is. Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
These times are harvest times. Think about this. How would your church handle 1,000 new members every week? It will kill you. We've got to start thinking like that. I tell you, we need to raise up hundreds of thousands of teachers. We need teachers ready to take new believers and get them established soundly on sound doctrine and made disciples, not just converts. One of the greatest reasons for the greatest weakness, I think, today is we've been making converts instead of disciples. No, the Great Commission's to make disciples, and we've got to be that first if we're going to make others. It is not going to work on the model of ministry that is now demonstrated in much of the church. It's like a spectator sport. You pay your entry fee and come watch a few people do it every week. No, we've all got to be engaged.
Welcome back, Steve. Steve, oh my goodness, here we are, man.
Yes, it's very amazing, encouraging. Yes.
Hearing these students stand up and realize this is our First Amendment right, mm-hmm. but it just has rights as an individual. I mean, if the whole world made it illegal for you to acknowledge Jesus Christ as a believer, you still have to acknowledge him.
That's right.
It could be a furnace at the end of it, but God says, I'll be with you in the furnace. That's what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
And I love to see their boldness in knowing the fact that even if the quote-unquote leadership says they don't want to stand up for it, we are not going to break. And hearing what she says, this is what happened at my brother's graduation. I want the same thing to happen at my graduation.
70 years.
Yeah, we're going to stand up for it.
Right.
I love that.
Stand up for God. And this generation is beginning to get it.
Yeah.
You know, we have revivals breaking out in West Virginia and Kentucky and, you know, pockets, different areas. And we're seeing the young folks even here at the
BFN very encouraging. Oh, yes.
And BFN Dream Center. And they're just like, this is what God says. Let's just do
Let's just do it.
And they're seeing, you know, miracles. They're seeing great. I'm excited about, you know, this Azusa 2.0 generation, mm-hmm. all that's taking place. But I want to encourage you, do not, you know, let someone tell you. Just because it's legal doesn't mean that it's
that's right.
not a sin. I mean, some people go, yeah, well, you know, you can kill your child now. It's legal. This is 1973. And it's like, no, you really can. Mm-hmm. It's considered murder. As a matter of fact, we'll be talking in a future program about how governor of Oklahoma, we're waiting for her to sign a brand new pass bill that says that abortion is illegal in the state of Oklahoma. We'll talk more about that. But so our God's a healing God. And I like what, you know, Bill Johnson says, what he just said, but also this is what he says right here. Take a look at this. He said, you know, when he was on his journey of moving along in the Lord and ready to put into practice what he had been seeing, his fifth generation pastor, at some point you just get frustrated with, listen, I'm not going to be religious. We're going to do everything that God says do. And normally that's when the religious, you know, leave you.
But right.
He had a lot of people leave him close around that time. And now, of course, he's impacting the world. Many people came who wanted God. But this is what he said. Remember this statement right here. This is so important. I can't let what I don't understand dislodge what I do understand. And I understand that God is good.
Amen.
That's so important, because anytime you start getting the impression that God is condemning you, that, you know, God is hating on you, and somebody's actually saying they're a servant of God and they're beating you down, that's just not God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he gave his son to die for you. Now, the Holy Spirit will convict you, but he's not going to condemn you. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And a lot of people, you know, say, you know, I'm being condemned. What happens is they're being convicted. But God, no matter what you're seeing taking place, you know, it's like Bill Johnson says, you know, we can't take what we know in our own mind, which is finite. It's mm-hmm. limited. You know, just because we know more than we did yesterday doesn't mean we know. It's amazing how people get so confident in their own brain and their own knowledge. But the whole thing is God's outside your mind. God exists. He created every mind that exists. And he's beyond that. And so don't let your thoughts or your experiences nudge you out of the reality of God is good. Don't let it dislodge you from God is good. Because it's important, because that's when you start, you know, if you start thinking, you know, God has a problem with me, and that, you know, he no longer approves of me. He doesn't have enough grace to forgive me. And there's a lot of people that are puppets of Satan that'll agree with that and just try to lock you into some sort of repression. But God's come to set you free. And they tried to do that with a prostitute. Her name was Mary. And Jesus, like, he that's been forgiven much loves much. You know, she can be used. Anybody can be used who loves God. He also said, this is pretty interesting what Bill Johnson said, because when he was moving from a church he was in Colorado, and he realized, you know, and how many people have these sermons? You hear them all. Maybe you preach them yourself, where you're just saying, you know, God heals and God delivers, and you're talking about what the book of Acts and what God does. But then, you know, people are listening and saying, well, I don't see you stepping out in that. I don't see you laying hands on anybody. I don't see you, you know, believing God for boldness when persecution mm-hmm. comes in. And this is what he said. This is what Bill Johnson said I thought was pretty good. He realized this. He says, I realized I needed to put demands on what I believed. My risk factor had to line up with the boldness of my beliefs. And he said, as I did this, there was an immediate change in my ministry, and we began to see healings and miracles increase. He began to see the book of Acts increase.
Amen.
And you gotta ask yourself, what is the one reason, what is the hindrance of me just walking as Jesus walked? Mm-hmm. You know, what is the one thing that is keeping me from doing it?
Right.
You know, people sometimes just like, I don't want to hear it anymore. If you're not going to do it, I don't want to hear it anymore. And you'll find out. It's one particular big, huge hindrance is not understanding that God loves you, that God's good, that there's some sort of filtration process before God will allow his goodness to come down. That's what Jesus did. Jesus made that access to us. Listen, God's not worried about wasting a miracle or wasting a healing. Just because you're healed don't mean you're saved. But hey, if you got healed by the power of God, God loves you. He demonstrated his love for you. Now you need to make a choice to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not just limited on what he can do. And one of the big things is having this, not knowing that God loves you. Before, while you were yet a sinner, God loved you. Jesus died for you to make a way for you. And so he loves you. Before the foundations of the earth, he loves you. I mean, God has a love for you. And he's made a way that you can get right and right standing with him by your choice, by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's love. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, his son, his one and only son, that if you believe in him, make him the Lord of your life, you'll be forgiven. When you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and repent for your sins, you're forgiven and you're walking in right standing with God. Pretty awesome. The second thing is that people don't love people. They're not moved with compassion because a lady, you know, in their community is suffering from a sickness or a disease or just pressure because she is a single mother, which is the most rapid way to move to poverty is for a married couple, for that father to leave that family. And that mother has to raise those children. Mm-hmm. It's a rapid way statistically, it says, for to move into the areas of poverty. But we can actually minister to them. I mean, think about somebody that's sick. Does your heart even feel compassionate towards them? Do you like, oh, I want to lay my hands on them. I want to pray for them because he said these signs will follow those who believe. Mm-hmm. I'm a believer.
Right.
So I can lay hands on them. It says Jesus worked with them, confirming his word. What's his word? His word says when you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. So it's understanding. It's like, you know, how come we're not moved? You see the programs on VFN TV. I mean, Christians are getting their heads cut off. They're being decapitated. Children are being killed in front of their parents. People are starving. You got people like Heidi Baker, who's going out and reaching out into Mozambique, and she's given her life over for this whole nation God has given her. But she just loves. She has a compassion for them.
Now the entire nation is being blessed. Because of her willingness to just go and hold the whole, all of Mozambique is now experiencing the love of God because she just said,
right.
I'll go. God, I'll go.
And it comes with testing. You know, God will give a man a vision. He will tell you what he wants you to do. And now you're going to have to, that's going to be tested out. She went 18 months on the word the Lord told her, I'm going to give you Mozambique. You're going to lay hands on the sick. Their ears, the deaf ears are going to open. Blind eyes are going to see. And the first thing that happened to her, reports are that the government took her building when she got back to Mozambique. She got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and it went 18 months as she's laying hands on folks and praying for them. Nothing's happening. But in 18 months, she said, I'll do this thing from a wheelchair if I have to. She pressed through. And how many people just quit? Because if you don't have a love for the Mozambique people, if you don't have a love for the orphans as she does, you're not going to push through.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it because you want a name for yourself, or you're trying to, you know, get noticed, or you're trying to do some religious work to be able to earn your way to some level of righteousness, which is you can't do it, but somebody told you and sold you a bill of goods on that, versus like, you know what? I can't quit. I've got to continue to minister to folks because this is what God wants me to do. It's for me to obey, and it's for him to heal. I need to be able to do that. And 18 months after pressing through, all of a sudden, death ears begin to open. Blind eyes begin to open. Now she has, you know, ministries and church plants all over Mozambique. Yeah. She has orphanages all over. And, you know, God is just so using her in a powerful, powerful way. And that same love is available through Jesus Christ in your life. Heidi just said, I want to do something significant for God.
I just want to do something for significant for God. And she took $30, her and her husband took like $30, went to Mozambique and just one-way ticket on an airplane and got off. Did they go through a struggle and trouble? Yeah, everybody did. Read the book of Acts, read the Bible.
Process.
But God used her and used them powerfully. I want to encourage you to go, you know what? I want to begin to not let my knowledge, my understanding, dislodge the reality that God is good and God wants to heal. And my actions, my risk, and risk is faith. It's like stepping out. Realize that if they reject you, they're really not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus, and they're rejecting the one that sent Jesus. This is what Jesus said. They're not rejecting you. So don't take that personal. Take personal the fact that God loves them and God wanted to express his love to them. And if they rejected it, they rejected the love of God. They're not rejecting you. That's really important to understand, because you begin to take risk. When you take risk, that's called faith. Without faith, without risk, it's impossible to please God. But living a life of risk, living a life of walking in loving obedience to God, you begin to see, it's amazing what we're seeing. I mean, it's amazing what we've seen for years. But now imagine if you're doing that. Imagine if the whole church is doing that, no matter what age you are. Begin to stand up and say, you know, I'm going to begin to live a life in love. Because this is what he said. He says, if you say you love God, but you don't love your brother, he says, that's an untruth. It's a lie.
You're a
lie. He says, how can you say you love your brother that you can see? And there's no way, if you can't love him that you can see, you can't love God that you can't see. Whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do to me, he said. We can actually measure where we are in God based how we respond to other folks. In other words, hey, I want to begin to love God.
That's right.
You know, it's how we respond to people. It's how we love people, how we're there for them in their need, especially those that are of the faith.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you. God is doing great things in the earth. And just like Bill Johnson is saying, you know, my risks needs to match up with my beliefs. In other words, I got to begin to do what I'm saying. And what you'll begin to see, you'll begin to see God back up as well. When it's done out of love, loving obedience to God and compassion for that person, you'll see God show himself mightily. It's just a totally, totally awesome thing to do. And think about this. This is what God wants to see. And as Bill's saying it as well. He says, you know, God's will is to simply for heaven's reality to become a reality here on earth. I mean, think about that. God's will is simply for heaven's reality to become earth's reality. You're supposed to pray it all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. It's just so powerful. Just so powerful. When we get back, we're going to talk more specifically about what happened with the Virginia College with retired Lieutenant General Jerry Borkin was fired because of free speech, because of a Facebook post. Join us after the break. Offer 2006, All In, the coming revival and testimonies of the glory of God. As I was going to speak on a particular message at the VFN Dream Center, the Lord suddenly changed my message to begin to share about the testimonies from the Brownsville Revival at Pensacola, Florida, which I was a participant in. It was amazing testimonies and stories of what took place at the Brownsville Revival. And as we begin to share, expectancy grew, and that's exactly what happened at the VFN Dream Center. You've got to hear these prophetic testimonies in this message right now. It's offer 2006 for your gift of any amount. That's offer 2006 when you partner with VFN TV. To become a partner is very simple. Go to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now. Or mail to VFNTV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Or call 844-408-3688. Don't forget, partner today. That's offer 2006. Don't forget, we have an offer for you this month for your partnership with any amount. Check it out.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means stratologia, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish his purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church that you be a part of the Apostolic Church Arising.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
Are employees mandated to work on Sundays? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work for the local phone company, and we're being forced to work on Sundays. We're allowed to have reasonable excuses, and mine is always that I go to church on Sunday, and I'm a youth leader, so I need to be there, and they've been telling me it's not a reasonable excuse.
Well, they're absolutely incorrect. A reasonable accommodation of your sincerely held religious belief. Here, as a Christian, you want to go to church on Sunday. You're a youth leader. You work with the youth group of your church. That's a basis upon which somebody should be covering that shift for you. And they have to make what's called a reasonable accommodation. Now, and what a reasonable accommodation means is that in a situation like this, they have to have other people that can work there, other people that could do your position. Let me get you also in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice and get you some help right away.
Join the American Center for Law and Justice in defending our religious liberties. Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Today I would like to talk on the word consistency. It was sent in by Yvonne Donaldson from Sydney, Nebraska. Yvonne is a financial coach. I've often said that the bookends of success, the front end, is initiative, the ability to start something, and the back end of success is the ability to close it, to finish it. But in between those two bookends of success, consistency is essential. You and I both know people, they're brilliant, but they're not consistent. They're creative, but they're not consistent. Now, what happens when we lack consistency? Well, we're not dependable. Leadership has to always be dependable. Leaders always have to be there. Leaders have to be that solid rock in which people can stand. And here's what I know. You don't have to be brilliant to be consistent. You don't have to be creative to be consistent. But you have to be disciplined. And leaders are always aware that every day people depend upon them. And so therefore, consistency is essential to a leader's life.
TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This is when you hear about the goodness of God, right, mm-hmm. Steve? You're just thinking, my goodness, what has religion made God out to be, right?
Yeah. Well, it really highlights the fact that so many people want to know, you know, is God real? And they're hearing so many conversations about knowledge. And that's why I love to hear what Bill Johnson's basically saying. It's just like, we can't get caught up in the fact that, yeah, I learned something, but the truth is, are we learning on what God has revealed to us, or are we learning on the God that revealed it to us? Because I've been in that situation many times before, that you're trusting in knowledge as opposed to, are you just trusting in God? And just being that facilitator of God's love, it's just like, there's plenty of knowledge in the world, but people aren't looking for knowledge. They want to look for God.
It's because you're so smart. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You had the benefit of going like, I can't trust in my mind. I have to trust in God.
Well, I'm faithful. I'm thankful that God faithfully reminds me that I'm not that smart.
That's smart.
Right. Not that smart.
Well, retired Lieutenant General William Jerry Boykin, great man. Mm-hmm. He wrote the book Coalition with Kamal Saleem. And he serves on Family Research Council's mm-hmm. board, and just he is ordained out of Morningstar Ministries with Rick Joyner, just a great man of God.
And he was one of the founders of the Army's Delta Force.
Yeah, the founders of the Delta Force.
Done a few things.
Well, you know, he was teaching at Hamden-Sydney College. You know, it's an all-male school. and I guess more like an adjunct or he's, whatever he's doing there.
Yeah.
But he made a posted on his Facebook a comment about what he thought, which is First Amendment right comment that he had written. And in the comment, he to paraphrase the comment, he was talking about transgender people. And transgender means someone that still has all the parts of their gender. So if they're female, they still have all their body parts as a female. If they're male, they still have all the body parts of the male. And so that's obviously a topic that was going on. And so on his Facebook, he posted, and we'll make that available to you on the VFN Torch, but he made this statement thinking that it was humorous, it was joking, I believe, or something of that nature. But he said, you know, quote, that if a man goes into the bathroom with my daughter, who's transgender, he said he won't have to worry about an operation. He would handle it himself. And which is, I guess he's talking about going from transgender to transsexual, where they actually, fully remove who they are as a male or female physically. And just posted it up, you know, and Jerry Borkin, just any general pretty much speaks their mind.
They're going to speak what's right.
But First Amendment says that you can do that.
Right.
But he got fired. They fired him from that college. And if you don't know Lieutenant General Jerry Borkin, retired, I mean, he's just a great man. I mean, you're just like, oh my goodness. You know, he's definitely a brother in the Lord when you're talking with him.
He's bold for God.
He's bold, and he understands, you know, for God and country, he definitely understands that. Well, because so many people are outraged about this particular Hamden City, Sydney College firing him, they began to protest and stand up for him. They reconsidered what they had done, and they decided, you know, we made a mistake. We're going to hire him back. And they hired him back. That's so important, because what we heard in the beginning of our program, listening to an atheist organization tell a school that had a 70-year tradition of honoring God with the Lord's Prayer, that you couldn't do it or we're going to sue you if you did it, that the students stood up. Well, Jerry Boykin, he stood up, but also the people stood up with him in support of him. And you notice in the high school, all the parents gave a standing applause to their children that were graduating, that they didn't turn their back on God.
Yeah.
And that's what, I mean, we're always looking for somebody else to stand up for us, right? But it only counts when you stand up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It only counts when you stand up for yourself with you and God. For example, if you're saying, hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing up for me, it's like, no, they're the ones in the fire. You know, you're not there. And you want to be able to stand up for God. It's not about living a very long life. It's about living for eternity and living a meaningful life. I mean, it could be God, you know, talks about 70 years and 80 if it's stretched, and beyond that, it's even more.
Mm-hmm.
But so many people are trying to live a long life. They never live a meaningful life. And when you live a meaningful life, you're taking stands like these students. You're taking stands like Lieutenant Jerry Borkin, who doesn't have a bone of hate in his body. I mean, he loves folks.
Yeah.
But he's just talking about that if all you got to do is decide today that you can go in the bathroom with my daughter because you just decided to, with as much crime that's gone on, you know, with against women and children, then he said this is not going to happen, you know, on his watch. But he was just kind of making it. But anyway, so I think it's encouraging to realize that just because if the immediate response of your business, your office, your customer, your government, your employer, don't think that's the final response.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that we were learning from the former FBI agent,
John Guandola,
is as Americans, what we do is we show up and we protest something. We show up and call our leaders and say, this is not right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wrong for you to do that. Now, this tyrannical mindset lately, people are scared to say something, but that's how American government works. It works. The First Amendment says you have a right to petition your government. And that's what that means. You can say something that's not right, and then they'll respond to it. And believe me, they will. They say for every written letter that you receive, it's equivalent to 10,000 folks that didn't write, that feel the very same way. So when you make a phone call to a leader, when you call a particular college up that's doing something kind of weird or strange, unconstitutional, or they're violating someone's rights, you know, making a call, writing a letter, standing up, not in hate, you know, but in love, and just say, listen, isn't that the First Amendment rights? You can't do that. Can you do that? And they'll think about, you know, what's going on, the context of that. We're going to see a lot of that. But the big thing is, despite Constitution or not, we've got to stand up for God.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to do it in a hateful way, because you may give people reason to do something hateful back to you. But just do it in a loving way. You do it in a way that, you know, I have no choice but to be able to stand up for God. And he made this post. And so I want to encourage you, too, in regards to what you're posting on your social media, that be mindful of what you're posting, not being scared of it, but just think, you know what? You know, I want to show forth the love of God. I don't want to show forth hate and criticisms and all these different things. But you do need to stand up for what is right. You know, if you're going to post, you know, post something that's right in the context of that. When we get back from this break, you got to see this. Israeli Navy now is training for a potential takeover of one of their naval Israeli ships by ISIS. Who would ever thunk this day would come? Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Nobody even comes close to comparing to Jesus. He's the firstborn of every creature. He's the firstborn by his resurrection of those from the dead. Who shall declare his generation? He is one with us, but he's definitely beyond us. He's great in his nature. His nature is incomprehensible. He is incomparable. He is divine. He's unique. He's equal with God. He's one with the Father. He filleth all things, yet is not contained by all things. All things were made by him, of him, and through him, and to him are all things. He is before all things. By him does all things exist. He is God. He is man. He's as truly God as if he were not man, yet completely and perfectly man as if he were not God. He's a perfect man with no stain, no spot, no original sin, no actual sin. He was the perfect, blameless, sinless Son of God. He stands alone, ladies and gentlemen.
Need a new garage door? Current garage door broken? Then look no further than the professionals at Precision Garage Door Service. Call today. We're open 24 hours, 7 days a week, and schedule an appointment with one of our skilled, professional, and courteous technicians. It is our pleasure to serve all of your garage door needs. Whether residential or commercial, make Precision Garage Door Service your first choice.
With the rising cost of everything nowadays, AllPro Tune-Up guarantees you quality repairs at a fair price. We promise to be upfront and honest with every estimate we provide. We service domestic and foreign-built cars, light trucks and SUVs, and are experienced with diesel, gas, and hybrid models. Our technicians utilize the latest in diagnostic testing and techniques, making our services second to none.
We want to earn your business and keep your trust. AllPro Tune-Up, automotive repair you can count on.
Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Who would have ever imagined that we would let it come to this, where now the Israeli Navy is preparing and training for the scenario if ISIS was to take over one of their naval ships? And we're talking about a country that its widest point is like 70 miles wide, and you lose one of your Navy ships to ISIS? Well, they're training with that scenario right now. As a matter of fact, take a look.
With ISIS affiliate fighters in the Egyptian Sinai near Eilat, the Israeli Navy has exercised a scenario in which ISIS fighters take over an Israeli ship. The exercise included Israeli naval combat soldiers, mission ships, and the Shayat 13 naval commandos, who were responsible for the extraction of hostages aboard the hijacked ship. The threat of ISIS in the Sinai has increased over the past year. This is evidenced by the recent downing of an Egyptian civilian aircraft in the Sinai Desert. In order to combat this threat, the Navy's response must be rapid and in complete coordination with the police and Magnum David Adam in Eilat in the event of an incident. Major exercises of this sort take place a few times a year. Each exercise prepares the Navy for operations in a different maritime theater. Previously, they have trained for operations in Israel's north, preparing for the threat of Hezbollah, as well as off the coast of Gaza. To counter the threat of infiltration by enemy divers, the Israeli Navy is building an underwater fence near the Princess Hotel in Eilat and near the Taba Crossing.
It's amazing what they're having to do to be able to defend themselves.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be standing with Israel.
Absolutely.
We're supposed to be standing with them. And we're thinking about a cappuccino or who's going to be. It's important who our next president is. They need to be able to stand with Israel. The future of America weighs in the balance in regards to, you know, ever how we stand with Israel, that's what our future is going to be like. And they're having to go through a scenario. Their Navy, a small country like like Israel, has having to go through what happens if ISIS takes over one of our ships. And we could have destroyed ISIS, reports are by our leaders, our former generals, General Boykin and others. We could have dealt with them all along. Even the Peshmerga up in northern Iraq, they said they could have done it if we would have armed them.
They had eyes on the actual supply line where they saw ISIS moving.
Right, and you saw it in 6 days in Iraq right here on VFN TV. But understand that the very fact, if ISIS touches one of their ships, you know, America allowed that to happen. So our prayers go out to the Israelis and the Israeli Defense Force. And it matters who you choose to be as a leader for our country in the next election cycle coming up. It needs to be someone who stands up for God, who stands up for Israel, who stands up for the original tent of our nation. Speaking of Israel, let's go right now to Israel now, talking about specifically where John the Baptist was born. Let's go there now in Israel.
Welcome to the land of the Bible. I'm David Sussman, your personal guide today as we walk through the streets of the beautiful village just outside of Jerusalem in the Judean hills. The village behind me, the village of En Kerem. En Kerem derives its name from the biblical village of which it's built on top of. That biblical village, which is written about in the Bible, is referred to as Beit HaKerem, which in Hebrew means the house of the vineyard, because this area was the agricultural center for Jerusalem during biblical times. En Kerem boasts a variety of churches, from a beautiful Russian Orthodox church to Protestant churches, Franciscan churches, Catholic churches. All of them are dedicated either to the story of the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth or to the life and times of John the Baptist, who, according to tradition, was born right here in En Kerem. The Church of Visitation is clearly a Franciscan church. How do we know? Well, right outside of it, it has a large Franciscan cross, which is the cross of which Jesus would have been crucified on, and then four smaller crosses, each one commemorating one of the wounds that he suffered up on the cross. As soon as you walk through the gates and onto the church grounds, you're going to notice three things. You'll notice a sculpture of Mary and Elizabeth, both pregnant, greeting one another. You'll see a beautiful mosaic on the wall of the church, which depicts the travels that Mary would have taken from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And thirdly, is you'll notice 55 plaques, each one in a different language, depicting the Magnificat, the prayer of which what Mary would have prayed after receiving the delightful news that she was indeed pregnant. One last thing about the Church of Visitation. Once inside, you'll notice off to the left a small grotto, and inside that grotto, you'll see the words written in Latin, the stone of the concealment of John, referring to the story of the killing of innocents when Elizabeth took John the Baptist and ran into the hills, prayed to God, and he opened up the mountain and they hid inside. It's believed, according to tradition, that that was located right here. In addition to the Church of Visitation, there are some who believe that the meeting between Mary and Elizabeth took place at the main spring of the village, which is located here, today referred to as Mary's Spring. The last church that we have time to discuss today is the Church of John the Baptist, which depicts the life and times of John all the way from his miracle birth through his times in the desert and ultimately his untimely death at the hands of Herod. Recently, archaeologists have excavated the grounds of the church, and what they discovered were ritual baths dating back to the Second Temple period to the time of Jesus, which allows visitors not only to walk through the land of the Bible and to visit places talked about in the Christian scriptures, but also to see what life was like for Jesus and John the Baptist and other characters that we read about in the Christian scriptures. As well as all of the rich history here, the village boasts one of the most modern and prestigious hospitals here in Israel. The hospital has one of the most famous worldwide trauma units. In fact, they even sent them to New Orleans in 2005 when Katrina hit. In addition, the hospital synagogue has one of the most famous series of stained glass windows found anywhere. They depict the 12 tribes and were done by none other than the famous Jewish artist Marc Chagall. I'm David Sussman, your personal guide here in the Holy Land. Thank you for watching this episode of The Land of the Bible. And on your next travels through Israel, stop in the beautiful village of En Karim.
That's so encouraging, always to just remember Israel. Understand, God doesn't slumber or sleep. Mm-hmm. His eyes are always upon Israel. And when Jesus comes back, his feet are going to land on the Mount of Olives, mm-hmm. and he's going to split. Well, that's where he's going to set up his throne to rule for a millennial here on earth.
Yes, he
it's
will.
Very, you know, that's why you're seeing so many other things tried to come against Israel. I mean, God's going to defend Israel, but every nation will be judged in the Valley of Jehoshaphat and what they did with the land of Israel. Be sure that you continue to pray with Israel. Stand with Israel. By standing with VFN TV, you're standing with Israel because we keep the light
Amen.
Burning.
Yes, we do.
You know, for Israel, we have thousands and thousands of broadcasts that have gone out in segments, you know, letting you know what's taking place, including the entire speech of the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, which you can see at the VFN mm-hmm. Torch. You want to be encouraged again, hear an awesome speech of a leader again, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will encourage yes. you greatly. I want to pray for you right now. Let's just pray. And pray for us too. I pray that you would pray for us to keep us in your prayers as well. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to talk about you, Lord God, on today's program. I thank you, Lord God, for these students who stood up, Lord, boldly
yes.
and didn't just surrender their faith. Lord, I pray that you would reward them, Lord. We thank you for retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin for his stand and his courage just for standing up, Lord, and those that stood up with him, Father God, for First Amendment rights and standing up for you, Father God. And I pray, Lord, for the protection of the Israeli Defense Force in Israel, Lord God, that you would keep anybody from taking over any of their ships, God, and that you would protect the land. Dear God, we thank you, Lord, for the Third Great Awakening. We thank you for revival, Lord God. We ask you, Lord, to end abortion, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.